Garage by Lyle C. May, 058-0028. Silver papered insulation showed on two walls where short windows opened to the woods out back in Mr. Tatu's house beside us. They never opened, and time collected generations of thumbnail-sized spiders, their light brown eggs and webs clotting corners of the windowsill. Their presence was felt whenever I entered the garage, pushing against hairs on the back of my neck, as much as the stench of garbage curdled the air. The opposing walls were sheetrock, one lined with three garbage cans in front of a rack for rakes, shovels, brooms, and a hoe. Toward the back, against the lower concrete portion of the wall, were bundles of wooden molding from the time my dad remodeled the living room. It happened one spring after a record snowfall made the roof leak. Somewhere were spare bundles of shingles. The remaining roofing tacks spilled from a paper bag on a low metal shelf near the door. There were remnants of other projects, too. A crippled bicycle used for parts, sheets of paneling and plywood from the foyer where Dad removed the wood stove, tile from a remodeled downstairs bathroom, or as we like to call it, Dad's office, because he would disappear with a book for longer than seemed normal. Next to the rack of garden tools was a hollow wooden door leading into the house. Adjacent to it was the heavy garage door, a solid thing, resistant to small boys. It was as much a chore to raise the garage door with its lack of springs and rusty wheels as it was to wheel the heavy metal trash cans to the end of the driveway for Tuesday morning pickup. Most days, it was a tedious task, but in the winter, it was always a race to take out the trash barefooted before the bite of ice and snow seeped to the aching ankles. Who has time for shoes or gloves? The blue hand dolly helped, but its metal stung my hands if I held on too long. In the corner between the garage door and the one leading inside was my favorite place, Dad's workbench, a beat-up, cut-up, a dark wooden thing with a large toolbox. Cans of nails, nuts, and bolts, saw blades, tape, and other implements not meant for children. It was totally off limits. Of course, it was the first place I gravitated toward when stalling to take out the trash, because it was still light enough that the spidery presence toward the back hadn't chased me in the house. A single light bulb was never enough to illuminate all of the dark corners. It seemed my unending chore to clean out the garage and the things living in there, but this almost never got done. Instead, Dad's workbench became a place I took apart devices scavenged from yard sales, the junk piles on the side of the road or the trash, discarded radios, record players, and TVs further destroyed with the help of a screwdriver, hammer, hacksaw, drill, and blowtorch, but only once because it singed my fingers. When I actually tried cleaning the garage, a snake made its presence known when I moved some boards, so a few sweeps of the broom was the best it got. Some things weren't meant to be cleaned. Occasionally, a squirrel would sneak in and drive the dog crazy, so we'd leave the garage door open all night and lock the dog in the upstairs bathroom. This only became necessary after an epic chase one summer that had one of the tree rodents running through the house with our miniature Lassie in hot pursuit, my uncle's German wife chasing both with a broom until the squirrel met its end in a corner of the living room. One late spring Saturday, I got up the nerve enough to dig beneath the workbench and found an old rusty ammo can. In it were the metal odds and ends of a machinist, graphite powder, and some strange meter with electrodes wrapped around it. At the bottom of the ammo can was a heavy black metal wind-up clock with 24 numbers. I wound it and listened, its ticking loud in the stillness of the garage. Between each tick of the second hand was the realization this was my space, at the edge of eternity, collecting the stray bits life left behind.